We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless you all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope that y'all doing all right and staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you are baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord is with you, that he guides you, he protects you, he looks out for you, he comforts you. I pray that you stop backsliding and you turn from your ways. I pray that you be more strong and wise in the Lord. I pray that your mental health gets better, it's restored and healed. And I just pray that you can help out people along your journey as well. And that the Lord keep using you. All right. You just keep him first. You stay in his presence. You stay doing his will. And your faith, you just keep pleasing the Lord with your faith and works. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us thank the Lord for another day. Let us thank the Lord for food in our belly, clothes on our back, a roof over our head, and protecting us coming in and coming out. Let us thank the Lord for his word, his mercy, his grace, his favor, his love. Let us thank him for his commandments and his law. The gospel, his promises, his covenants, amen. Let's just thank him for everything, amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, body of Christ. Shalom, family. What is going on with you all? I love you all. I appreciate all of you guys for your support and your listening. It means a lot to me. Praying for you all, and you pray for me as well. Praying for each other. All right, let us uplift one another. Let us encourage one another in the Lord. And let us iron sharpens iron. Love, correction, edification, gladness, joyful heart, merry-hearted, amen. Let us have peace, harmony, and love in the body of Christ, all right? There's enough hate in the world. Let us not be hateful people or spreading hate. Let us always spread his word and spread what is right, all right? Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, everyone. All tribes, all nations, all peoples, all tongues, all languages, all four corners of the earth, all faces, all races. Yes, yes. Whether you are an Israelite or a Gentile, it is all right. Whether you are chosen or adopted, it is all right. Let us embrace the Lord. Let us fellowship. Let us be together as one for the body of Christ. Let us be together for the kingdom of heaven. All right. Let us praise, worship forever. Yes, yes, y'all. Yes, let us obey the Lord. Let us obey his voice. Let us obey the gospel and his word. Let us love the Lord our God with all of our mind, heart, and soul. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And yes, yes, got to repeat that. Have to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, heart, soul, strength, and might, with everything. Amen. Let us do Father's business and Father's will for the rest of our lives until Jesus comes back. Amen. He is coming back like a thief in the night. He is coming back for a church with no spot or blemish or wrinkle. He is coming back at any given time, okay? So let us always keep working towards his return. And let us hear that, well done, good, faithful servant. Amen. That's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear the depart from me, I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. All right. So let us get right with the Lord and keep fearing him and doing what he called us to do. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So in today's message, we're going to continue our Bible reading series. All right. Last night, we continued and finished up the book of Luke, chapter 21 through 24. We finished off the book of Luke. Now we're in the book of John. All right. So we're going to go get into reading in the book of John. And then from there, we'll close out with a prayer. We'll close out with a priestly blessing. And we'll also close out with giving all the praise, honor, glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And praise the only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So here we go. Before I go into the book of John, I would like to read the introduction commentary before the book of John chapter 1, okay? So let's go through with the commentary. John, Arthur, John the Apostle, son of Zebedee and brother of James. Audience, John writes with Gentile readers in mind, especially those influenced by Greek philosophies. Date, probably AD 85 to 90. Setting, John probably writes sometime before his exile to the islands of Patmos. Essentials of John. After years of personal reflection, John creates his account of Jesus' life. The apostle focuses on the spiritual aspects of Jesus as God in the flesh, rather than offering another parallel look at the details of Jesus' time. While the other gospels portray Jesus as someone worth following, John reveals him as the one worth believing in. While the other gospels provide a detailed record of Jesus' life, John illuminates the gripping meaning of that life. As you read the Gospel of John, constantly look for John's singular purpose to instigate faith. Jesus did many other miracles and signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. What to look for in the book of John reading. Intimate conversations with Jesus. Powerful words and actions that change lives. A sense of awe in the presence of Jesus. The many aspects of what believing means. Jesus' promises about the Holy Spirit. All right, so that's an introduction of the book of John. Now let us go to the book of John chapter 1. Here we go. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has no understanding of it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him, all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was not, He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." John the Baptist denies being the Christ. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer. Take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now, some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Jesus, the Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Jesus' first disciples. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So that is the book of John chapter 1 reading. All right. So as we review the book of John chapter 1, it goes more into detail about the Word becoming the flesh. When it starts off with saying the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, all that in one. He was with God in the beginning. It kind of goes back to Genesis when God said, "Let there be light," and the light was good. You know, things that when it comes to his creation and his words and how everything was made from the beginning, foundations of the world, through his word, through his power of him being God as well. And that all things were made from him, and without him nothing has been made. And he was to be life and the light of men. And now how the light shines in the darkness as well. And how he also sent his son, who is the true light, the light of the world. And how we are to be children of God. So John, the beginning of it, goes through that. And it also goes into saying how God reveals himself through the word. As you read this in commentary scripture that reads, John chapter 1, verse 14. "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So that's regarding talking about Jesus and how God made him and what have you. And then also, as we review book of John chapter 1, it goes further into John the Baptist denying that he is Christ and how he was the buildup before Christ. Basically, he was sent before him. All right. And then goes more further to Jesus being the Lamb of God, Jesus' first disciples, you know, and what have you. How he's meeting Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, how he met Philip and Nathanael, and things of that nature. Okay, so that's the book of John chapter 1 reading. What I would like to do before I read the book of John chapter 2, I would like to read the commentary in between chapter 1 of John, all right? So let's read the commentary. Today's Bible reading, the book of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Recommended reading, the book of Genesis chapter 1, the book of Matthew chapter 3, the book of Romans chapter 9. The title of this commentary is "The Word Among Us." Experts claim that nonverbal language, such as our body posture and movements and the way we use gestures, communicates more of what we want to say than the actual words we speak. However, most of us also know just how important the words we use can be. In fact, quite often we lack the luxury of nonverbal cues when we communicate. Think of what you read each day in the newspaper, in books, online, and in emails. John opens his gospel by writing about the word. We soon discover that the word refers to Jesus. A word communicates meaning, and Jesus represents God's visible communication to the world. While we might be tempted to scan through John's descriptions without much thought, he communicates to us the following essential truths, the essential truths about the word. Jesus coexists with God the Father. He has existed for all eternity from the beginning. God didn't create Jesus as an afterthought. He didn't. In fact, he created his son at all. Through Jesus, all things came into existence. God created the heavens and the earth through Jesus. Jesus gives us life. Each of us desires to be fully known and loved, and Jesus wants to have a life-giving relationship with us. Jesus offers light for all men. Light stands for truth, and Christ offers absolute and unshifting truth. The world doesn't recognize Jesus. We shouldn't be surprised when others seem apathetic or even hostile about our faith. They don't see Jesus as we do. Individuals who receive Christ become children of God. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, he adopts us as his children. Jesus became flesh. Christ lived as a flesh and blood man on earth. He got hot and sweaty working in the sun. He felt pain and discomfort. He enjoyed the pleasures of a good meal and a rejuvenating night's sleep. Through John's words, God wants us to understand what a rich and full relationship Christ offers. Walking with Jesus grounds us in eternity, awakens real life within us, offers us truth, and brings us into God's royal family. What's more, because Jesus experienced birth, childhood, teen years, and adulthood, he knows the pressures of manhood. Because he came to earth as a man, he knows what kind of life we face. But as eternal God, he also offers us a fulfilling and productive life. Things to take away from the commentary. Why do you think it was important for Jesus to come to the world in a human body? Think about our current relationship with Jesus. Do you find Jesus more satisfying than anything else the world has to offer? What steps can you take to know Jesus in this way? How would you respond to someone who asks, "What do you love about Jesus?" Very good commentary reading right there. So it just gives us the breakdown of the book of John chapter 1 and how important communication, God, his creation, his son is, and how the foundation is him. Amen. All right, y'all. So that's the commentary for the book of John chapter 1. Now let us go into the book of John chapter 2. All right. The book of John chapter 2. Here we go. Jesus changes water to wine. John chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples also had been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Jesus clears the temple. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jew Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. So that is the book of John chapter 2 reading. As we review the book of John chapter 2 reading, it just goes more into detail about how Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding. It also shows Jesus clearing the temples and flipping the tables over and being angry about how they turned the father's house into a market. All right. And also Jesus saying the sign that he'll show is him destroying the temple. He'll raise it in 3 days. And he was referring to his body. All right. And also just to show, it just shows Jesus more interaction with his disciples, his mother's brothers, and other people within that region as well. All right. So that is the book of John chapter 2 reading. Now let us go into the book of John chapter 3. All right. The book of John chapter 3. Here we go. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his only begotten Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." John the Baptist's testimony about Jesus. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptized at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and now, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth, and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So that's the book of John chapter 3 reading right there. As we review the book of John chapter 3, we can see, so John chapter 3 goes more into detail about Jesus teaching Nicodemus about being born again and how you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God. You have to be born of water and spirit. All right, so being born again is very important, people. Very important, man. People have to get baptized, delivered, repent, be born again, start over. All those different things, amen. Anyways, we go more to John chapter 3. The most probably quoted verse on earth. Yes, the most popular probably quoted scripture, the book of John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Very powerful verse when we reflect on it. I think about that love right there, you know, dying for our sins, man. Gotta think about that every day, all right? As we live our lives, you have to just think about what they went through just for us, all right? So Jesus offers eternal life, all right? And then John the Baptist, he's just giving his testimony about Jesus and things of that nature, all right? So that is the book of John chapter 3 reading. I like to read the in commentary scriptures that were included in it, all right? Which is Jesus offers eternal life. The book of John chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. Everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. All right. What I would also like to do is read a commentary that was within the book of John chapter 3 as well. All right. So let us go. The title of it is called Haunted by a Moment, Pilate. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." The book of Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. Condemning people to death was something Pilate did rather frequently, with the eye of Caesar's emissaries constantly gazing into his corner of the empire. One had to hold the line to maintain any semblance of peace, especially when one was a governor of a large Roman province. Nowhere was this truer than in Pilate's region of Judea, where a disaffected and vocal minority was constantly clamoring for more political clout. Uprisings weren't uncommon in the empire, but these people had a fierceness he hadn't seen before. They had laws they felt were more important than his laws, and frankly, he was growing weary of it. This is why he was on guard the moment the delegation from the Sanhedrin brought their charges to him, requesting the penalty of death for a rabble rouser named Jesus. Their tone was genteel, their deference pronounced, and this made Pilate suspicious. Why were they siding with him? "It is only to protect you, esteemed prefect," their high priest assured him suavely. Bowing low, Pilate narrowed his eyes. He had no intention of helping this poser. "This man is your problem," Pilate replied. "He is offending your laws, not mine." He stood up to go. "If you release this man," Caiaphas snapped, raising his tone for the first time, "you are not a friend of Caesar." Pilate stopped. These words had power over him, and Caiaphas knew it. Pilate did not realize it at the time, but this would be the precise moment that would come to haunt him for the rest of his life. He would wish he had listened to his wife and her pleas to spare the life of Jesus. He would wish he had listened to his lieutenant, whose report to him about the crimes of his dangerous zealot had not added up to him. Pilate had seen dangerous zealots. This man's words and habits were not typical revolutionary fare. But most of all, Pilate would later wish that he had listened to himself. As he had peered into the eyes of that remarkable man, Pilate had no problem condemning men. But this man made other men spiral. Everyone who met him seemed to twist and turn, either toward good or in the direction of hatred. Pilate washed his hands that day to signify his innocence, but the entire Mediterranean couldn't have washed away the guilt he felt. It was the last truly great thing he had been given the chance to do, and he watched it slip away. If Jesus' followers were correct, then maybe he had even let God slip by. A recipe for infamy, if there ever was one. Back to the future. Think about a time when you had an opportunity to do something good, but let it slip through your fingers. What would you do differently if you could relive those moments? Standing idly by is often just as bad as actively doing evil. How can you proactively fight for good? Pilate's desire to keep peace was more important to him than his desire to please God and do what was right. How can you cultivate a heart that wants to please God more than people? The story continues. Learn about Pilate's fatal error in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 11 through 26, and also the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 1 through 25. All right, so that was just the commentary based on Pilate and how he dealt with Jesus' death and the guilt of it. Yeah, all right, so that is the commentary with the book of John, chapter 3, reading, all right. So what I would love to do is, as we close out, is give all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise his only begotten Son, who died for our sins. Amen. So just the book of John, chapter 1 through 3, reading today, and then we'll just close off from there. We'll continue the rest of it in the next episode of the Bible reading series, all right? So here we go. Yes, yes, hallelujah, y'all. He is the hope for humanity. Yes, he is the Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam. The advocate, the almighty, true, and living God, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. The apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith. The author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potentate, the blessed and only ruler, the branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, wonderful counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, the door, the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting Father, the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn over all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am that I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, king eternal. He is a king of Israel. Hallelujah. He is a king of kings. Amen. He is a king of kings and Lord of lords. Hosanna, Hosanna, king of saints, king of the ages, king of the Jews, the king, the lamb. The Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord. The Lord is my banner, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my salvation, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my deliverer, the Lord is my portion, the Lord is my everything, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my high tower, the Lord is our salvation, our strength, our everything, people. Amen. The Lord, our righteousness, the Lord. Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahweh Shai, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Yahya Shai, Yeshua HaMashiach, Barak Atah, Shalom, Shalom, Yeshua Elohim, the consuming fire, the Father of lights, the Father of mercies, the Father of the fatherless, the Father of widows. Yes, he is the consuming fire, y'all. The Most High and his Son is so amazing. Amen. He is the God of heaven and earth. His Son sits at the right hand of him. The government rests on his shoulders. The great physician can heal all things. Yes, the carpenter can fix all things. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. All things are possible with him and those who believe. Amen. Yes, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords. Ahai Yeshai, Yehosha, Yehusha, Yeshua. The Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, man from heaven, man of sorrows, mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, Our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the resurrection and life. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the resurrector, the revelation, the revelator, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the radiant one, the perfect example, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, son of the blessed, son of the most high God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the son of righteousness, the just one, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true God, the true light, the true vine. Yes, he is the truth. Amen. He is the way. Hallelujah. He is the way, truth, and life. The wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful counselor, the word of God, the word of life, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Elohim, the word of Yeshua HaMashiach, the word of Yehosha Yahusha, the word of Yeshua. Yes, yes, Ahai Yeshaya. He is the word. Amen. We touch and agree, y'all. Yes, yes, we serve an amazing Father, and the Son is amazing for dying for our sins. Amen. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit is all awesome together, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. Boast in the Lord, boast in the Lord, boast in the Lord. He is too good. His Son is so amazing and awesome. His Son is just too worthy, too able. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. He is the seed of Abraham promise, seed of Adam humanity, seed of David kingship, seed of God deity, seed of Jacob nationality, seed of Judah tribe, seed of Shem race, seed of woman prophecy. Amen. We touch and agree, y'all. Yes, yes. In the authority and the power and name of Jesus Christ, you are healed, renewed, restored, redeemed, forgiven, embraced, delivered, new mind, new heart, new soul, repentance, baptism, stability, faith, love, happiness, goodness, joy, merry heart, new hands to prosper, new feet, new steps, new journey, new path, new life in Christ, born again, new creature in Christ. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So there you have it. All right. Just pray to God that whoever this is message, y'all just get baptized and start your life over and get a fresh start. Amen. Y'all stay strong out there, people. Stay strong. Amen. So there you have it. Just the book of John, chapters 1-3 reading. All right. We'll continue to rest onward in each episode. All right. So as I close out, I'd like to give y'all this priestly blessing and go on from there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for y'all. Peace.